Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Nitwits, halfwits, dimwits.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Any thug can kill. I want you to take your ego out of the equation.
Thug life.
Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Oh, hell yeah. They got robbers, thugs, drug dealers, right, you name it.
You think you got any thug in you?
I have got a shitload of stuff to talk about because I forgot my list last time. I'm Jim, he's Clarkson, we're the Film Thugs, and both of us are apparently qualified to stand steps away from world leaders and flap our hands around like fucking lunatics.
This is great for audio.
Yeah. Have you heard the shit where, like, this guy was accused of murder at one point? I mean, it is a shit show.
Home invasion.
Which, why not? Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
And he was hallucinating about angels because...
Well, that's what you do.
Sure.
They went looking for the guy that hired him.
Yeah.
Can't be found.
That's odd. Surprising. Yeah. And we don't sound like shit this week.
How about that?
So ain't that a fucking magical
thing? 'Tis the season of miracles. Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of, I have found the most fucking self-serving thing I've ever heard in my life. Rahm Emanuel is going to fast for illegal immigration for 24 hours in what he refers to as an incredible sacrifice. It is an incredible sacrifice. I'm sorry, that is... I just forgot to eat that day.
Oh. Yeah, that, it's just all drops.
Yeah, yeah, everything right there, man. I mean, seriously, God. That is... That's all that I hear with that fucking nonsense. It's like, look at how everyone needs to be thankful for me.
You lampooning me drapes.
Oh, there we go. I was turning mine down. We're all good now. That's why my shit is
fight. I embrace excuses. I embrace solutions.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
So Samuel's wiener goes...
Oh, speaking of that, reminds me, fucking South Park might have done the greatest... Like, I think last night's episode of South Park should be required viewing.
Okay.
It was, there was this like kind of fat, ugly girl on the cheerleading squad. Mm-hmm. And Wendy was trying to like build her confidence up because, you know, Wendy's like, oh no, you just believe in yourself. Go ask Butter to go to the movies. And Butter, go ask Butters. And Butters, you know, she was like, would you like to go to the movies? He's like, oh no, you're too fat for me.
God.
And then she like took him in and Butters is like, no, I like Kim Kardashian just had a baby and she's got herself back in shape. And Wendy's like, it's bullshit. She's a hobbit without Photoshop. And then Wendy goes and Photoshops a picture of this girl and makes her gorgeous. And Butters is like, that's her? Oh my God. And by the time, and he falls in love with her because of that picture. And then like another guy starts dating her and walks around with her on his arm, but showing the picture. Then all of the girls go to this gym that is just for them Photoshopping pictures themselves.
Wow.
And Wendy is like, this is awful. This is terrible. And they're like, why are you gel? You're just being a hater. And everyone, like, no matter what she did, she's sitting there trying to say, part of your imperfection is a part of who you are. This is an unrealistic standard. And everyone's like, you're just jealous. Stop being a hater. And the end of it, I'm going to fucking spoil the ending of it because it was so amazing. It's her sitting in the computer lab and she Photoshops a picture of herself, clicks on a button, and her eyes are tearing up. And it says, email this to everyone. Yes. She gets up and walks out. Not another word. Just the music plays out and it's done.
Wow.
And it's like, holy shit. In a sane world, the sane person in our world gets broken.
Yeah.
It, like, Hope and I were just sitting there like, what? What the fuck? But what was great was they kept having Kanye West show up throughout the episode trying to explain why Kim's not a hobbit. And he's like, she is very beautiful. Hold on a second. Turns around.
Bitch, how are you not the hobbit again?
He calls her on the phone immediately.
Bitch, you're not a hobbit, right?
That's all it is. It's fucking brilliant. But yeah, that is That is that I think everyone needs to watch it because it makes like the most powerful statement about why all this shit, the photoshopping and the empty-headed celebrities that we follow is so bad for us.
Yeah.
And it makes it in a beautiful way.
Here's a concrete example from the real world.
Yes.
And it ties in with Kanye West because it's his quote.
Mm.
Kanye. Well,
hold on.
I think about my family. I'm like, wow, this is like, you know, this is like being a police officer or something, or like war or something. Like you literally going out to do your job every day, you know, knowing that something can happen to you, you know, verbally from the press bashing you. Something can happen to you from, you know, people not liking you anymore because your records, you can actually slip on that stage. But it's like we walk in, you know, this tightrope and fighting for creativity and fighting for ideas and fighting for thought.
Is that what you were talking about? No.
No.
Okay.
This is like a brain cancer moment.
Oh. Okay.
A la Lewis Black's. If it weren't for that horse, I wouldn't have spent that semester in college.
Uh-huh.
So sorry for everyone that's going to hear this.
Yeah.
But this is the one that's going to get you.
Okay. Go ahead.
I want to be the Obama of fashion.
What the fuck is juice?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Huh?
What?
What the fuck is juice?
I mean,
you lampooning me, you bitch.
I thought mine was bad. Well, mine is bad.
It's bad. It's terrible.
I am like a cop or a soldier at war because I could slip on the stage.
Don't just put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Oh my good gravy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my
Obama
Lord.
Of
bitch, how you not the Hobbit again?
Yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Billy Bob doesn't know what it means. Nobody knows what it means.
Only thing that made it worse for me. Yeah, I don't know.
That's all right.
Yeah, the only thing that has given me more of a is the fact that I saw a white van on my way to work the other day that had
panel van?
Yeah. www.iconjunto.com.
Because why not?
Espoors.
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 Iconjunto.com.
Iconjunto.com.
That's it.
What I'm hoping is that with the guys from the AMP over, well, the formerly of the AMP over in the UK. Wow.
That.
Yeah. I hope that one of them is a fan of the Tottenham Hotspur.
Mm-hmm.
Hotspur. And they go by the Spurs.
Okay.
And so I hope Go Espoors Go can sure. become their anthem.
That would be great.
As well.
They would love it.
That would be wonderful.
Get with it, peeps.
Go Espoors Go.
I had the worst moment the other morning. You know, when it gets cold down here, it's gotten cold as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when it first hits, that fucking mountain cedar hits like a motherfucker and you feel like you got the flu even though you don't. You don't have that. That's what happens. Eventually. Mountain cedar gets to you.
No.
I didn't used to.
No.
But so I had that feeling the other morning where I woke up and I was in this perfect position. And I knew if I moved at all, I was just going to get the full body shiver. And it'll just last a second. But if I moved an inch, it happened. That was my morning the other day. And I hated it so much.
That sucks.
It sucks. It does. Okay. I've got a handful of things here. Let's see. Dude, have you seen what Matt Smith is doing now?
No.
He's playing Patrick Bateman in a West End musical production of American Psycho.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I was somebody who wasn't particularly moved by the movie. I liked the book okay, but the movie just didn't do anything for me.
It's okay. Got some good quotes.
Really, a musical from this.
But a musical.
Why not? Why not?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
You lampooning me, me drinks.
Also, let's see here. A couple of football things. Mac Brown, I want to punch in the fucking dick. Over that statement where he's like, if I was stepping down, why would I be here in Florida working so hard? Because you're getting paid $5 million a year to do it, you cock.
But if he was stepping down, he wouldn't do it.
Oh, yeah, apparently,
he wouldn't do his job.
Even though he's still getting paid the $5 million a year for another month. No.
No, I'm not doing a thing. I'm having nachos over the Texas Chili Parlor.
Yeah, what a cock.
Dreaming up more screen passes.
I just want to punch him in the fucking face over that. That cock.
Is it the plan to keep him in recruiting and then whoever...
He'll be connected in some way, right. Of course.
So, from a political standpoint, he could say, well, I'm not stepping down because he's not really stepping down.
Right.
Did
you hear what Red McCombs said?
No.
They're like, do you think we can get Nick Saban? He's like, yeah. All the money that's not under the Vatican is at UT. Like, whoa.
Which, that's true.
It is. Because the numbers they're bouncing around right now are between $7.5 and $10 million a year.
God.
I can't think of anything I wouldn't do for $10 million a year. Oh. And I mean anything.
Anything.
Oh, speaking of the football things, did you see the thing with that jerk off Tomlin going on the field during the game?
No.
Okay, the Steelers coach got fined like $100,000 or something like that.
Okay.
Because he's walking down the field, walking down the sidelines, and a guy from the other team has a breakaway, and it's going to be a touchdown. And he said, I noticed that they were running towards me, so I wanted to move out of the way. And he's walking, and he did one of those things where he like jumped and put his foot in the field, in the path of the runner, and jumped to the side. So the runner had to stutter step and move to the side and got tackled. Yeah.
I didn't mean to do that.
How much do you get paid?
Mistake. I don't know, but enough not to be a fucking moron about that.
Wow. Very professional.
Yes, totally professional. Kind of like, for Thanksgiving, my sister had some of her Jewish friends come over because it was also the beginning of Hanukkah.
Right.
And so she asked me to go by the kosher bakery on, what's it called? On, don't even remember what the place is.
Is it over there off Mopac?
The Mopac in 2222 at Randall's. Yeah. And I went in and I was like, oh, hey, do you have any? And I start throwing out the names. Mm. And the woman behind was like, you need to go home. And I was like, it's permanent up here, kosher bakery. And she's like, yeah, it ain't that kosher. Why don't you just say jelly donuts? I was like,
all right. Got nothing for you.
I'm sorry. I don't know how to respond to that. Yeah, so.
A gigantic German, I don't know.
Yeah, sorry. But
look, I was trying to be nice here.
Yes, exactly.
But you had to fucking push it, didn't you?
You had to be an asshole. You couldn't leave well enough alone, could you, LaRusso?
Yeah.
And I punched her in the fucking face and went, yeah. And it especially works when I throw the hands up. I kind of Tevye that.
Yeah, fucking jelly donuts, motherfucker.
apparently Ron Burgundy hosted, Will Ferrell went on like some North Dakota news station and just did the entire show.
That's pretty awesome.
I fucking love that.
From what I can tell from the news I watch, everyone going to see Ron Burgundy, or Anchorman 2, whatever, are newscasters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every one of them is just dropping little this and little of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All of them.
I'm looking forward to
it. I'm sure it'll be hilarious.
Huge. Oh, yeah.
But they are the prime movers behind this, it seems.
So that fucking dude who was like giving the woman who was being an asshole on the airplane shit. Like it was on Twitter on like the day before Thanksgiving where some woman's all like, I've got to get home, blah. The whole thing was a hoax.
Yeah.
The whole thing was bullshit. Which, hell, fucking well done, sir. You got everyone's attention. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But what was funny is somebody replied to it. It was like, yes, that was my aunt.
I know.
And she was wearing the respirator because she's an end-stage cancer. And yeah, she missed it. And she, like, boy, you just have to feel like an ass.
Yeah, really.
You
really
feel like a douche.
The person that did that
is
incapable of feeling like an ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, he needed to steam him.
He needed
Should he have done that at all? No.
No.
But he's the one ultimately that looks like a jack-off.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe you're just lonely.
Yeah.
Maybe that's your problem.
And it was mildly amusing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, there's also video of this 20-year-old street fighter went into a boxing gym and was like, I'll take anyone on, blah. This 15-year-old's like, I'll go. And the dude comes out and he just starts throwing big old American style haymakers. And this kid's bobbing and weaving, just fucking works again, almost knocks him out with body blows. Yep. It was very cool. 15-year-old owns nice. This dude's ass. You should look
he
that
was,
shit up.
Just decided to go in there. And...
Yeah. Just go in there and be a prick and got fucking owned by a 15-year-old.
What a fool.
Also, dude,
I made a discovery this week, and I'm not saying it's my new favorite, but I have something that is now in the mix for my new favorite James Bond theme, and we're going to go into something really big on that in a second.
Okie doke.
Because, let's see here. I was listening to the James Bonding podcast, which is really good, and they were talking about The Man with the Golden Gun, and I remember always thinking that, oh God, that song is fucking stupid, and that's just the worst theme song. And I realized if you take the kind of nonsense of the lyrics, listen to just musically too. It's like 60s, 70s is shit.
It's fantastic.
But it's like, holy shit, this is kind of a badass piece of music here. And then when the fucking wah-wah starts going.
Barbaric.
If it wasn't awesome. For the lyrics, because the lyrics are just like, okay, that is, the music is tight as hell.
That is
hell.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of that. Now, what do we need to talk about with James Bond? Did you hear the lawsuit got settled and they can use Spectre and Blofeld?
Yes, I heard about this.
If they
make it happen.
Don't have Blofeld in the next movie, I don't know.
Makes me wish they just waited on everything so they could tie it all to... Well, they still can.
They can.
They can still tie Quantum as just some subsidiary.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, they totally can do that. God damn.
No, Mr. Bond, that organization is nothing.
Oh, no, Mr. Bond.
Hey there, Mr. Bond.
I'm quite afraid you're wrong.
You see, that was only a small part of our larger organization, also known under the umbrella of Smaug.
My name is Enrist Stavros Blofeld. I am second cousin to Smaug.
I am the real king of the king of Under the Mountain.
Under the Mountain.
Oh, dude, by the way, from what I'm hearing, Desolation of Smaug is what the first one should have fucking been.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first
less dishambling, more dragons. Yeah. Although after our show when we went on and on about Smaug.
Yeah.
The latest trailer I saw, it sounded like the Desolation of Smaug. Smaug.
Yeah.
Closer to smog.
Yeah, because for a while it was...
It was fucking straight up Smaug.
The Desolation of Smaug.
The Desolation of
Smaug.
Well, it was like, do you remember that story Evan used to tell about... Pardon me, sir. Would you like some cow fit?
Yes.
That's how much it stood out. It was just... God damn, this dog is just sitting here judging me.
That's what she does.
Just harshly fucking judging me, man.
What the fuck is...
Go on.
God damn it. No, that's the momentum's lost.
Yes, it's terrible.
What the fuck is juice?
Yes, that makes me very, very happy.
Purple.
It's purple. And so, yes, outstanding shit. I was looking up. I knew that The Simpsons is like the longest running scripted primetime sitcom. You know what absolutely blew my mind? How long was Hee-Haw on the air?
Felt like 20 fucking years.
24.
Ooh.
It was on the air for 24 fucking years.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby!
I just love that drop. I had to have that.
That is a lot of time.
Yeah, that is a lot of just fucking, well, yeah, that's, no, that's, well, that's bad. No, that's good. There was, like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. A lot of fucking around in a cornfield. Mini pearl.
Apparently that was required viewing from my grandmother to my older siblings. That and Lawrence Welk. And they'd get all pissed off about having to watch Lawrence Welk.
Right.
My report to that is, are you insane?
Yeah.
That is the greatest Race show
of
ever.
Wrath, chocolate chip ice cream, and Johnny Cash.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck
I've seen three movies in my life. Bridge on the River Kwai, Patton, and Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yes, that is
ridiculous.
So, this issue,
episode, oh, wait.
Oh, go
Did
on.
You yes, hear the.
You have things.
I'm have sorry. One thing. I have go one on. More thing.
Uh huh.
It's not brain cancer, but pretty fucking close.
Uh-huh.
Somebody stood up and said, I think we should let people on airplanes use their cell phones in flight because the technology is now in place where it won't fuck up anything except reality as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a terrible idea.
Oh, God, yeah.
Terrible.
Because it's annoying in the grocery store. Imagine being stuck next to somebody all the time. Yeah. No, no.
Oh,
oh my God, no.
Yeah.
No. Well...
The business community, very for it.
Yes.
Yeah, but that would be just as annoying to hear you talk about your fucking merger or whatever you people with money do.
Uh-huh.
Or the 15-year-old LOLing about someone being jelly or what have
you. Yeah. See, that's why my new plan is before I ever get on a plane, I'm just going to eat a lot of bread and sauerkraut.
Mm.
And just like the person next to me is talking, it's like, well, I'm going to lift up before I fart because I want you to be just as fucking miserable as I am.
I eat a gallon of red cabbage. Mazel tov.
Yes. That is sweet. That is fucking sweet. So, for this, wait, hold on. Oh yeah. For this week,
we
decided to look at Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Why?
And film riffing in general. Now it's funny cause looking through this, I actually stumbled on, I was listening to the Nerdist interview with Daniel Radcliffe and it's funny that this hit when it did, because I was really thinking about, you know, what shit has molded my sense of humor the most? What has?
Right.
And I am a MST3K.
Oh, yeah.
Monty Python, Saturday Night Live. And he brought up someone I'd totally forgotten, Tom Lehrer.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot because my mom had a bunch of Tom Lehrer albums and I would sit in the living room and just headphones on listening to Tom Lehrer all night. And I just, and it's funny because I found myself like nerding out where they were talking about the word plays that he would do, and they brought up Vatican Rag, and it was you know, what's that like? Get in line in that processional, step into that small confessional. There, the guy who's got religion will tell you if your sin's original. And I'm like, and what, you're just going to leave off? If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8, time to transubstantiate.
Mm-hmm.
First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your heads with great respect, and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. I can't believe that I remember that. I haven't heard that song since like the 80s.
I think you sent that to me on a tape.
I probably did.
Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. Because I was like all about that. I didn't know if you'd heard of him beforehand, but I was like, if you haven't, you'll love this fucking guy.
Yeah.
But
National Brotherhood Week.
Oh, God, yes. National. Let's do one another. Yeah, you just, the week that we tolerate the people we can't stand and shit like that.
The Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Protestants hate the Catholics. And the Catholics hate the something. I can't remember. But everybody hates the Jews.
And everybody hates the Jews. But during National Brotherhood Week. Yeah, I went nuts with that shit. And because it's funny, because all of these are ones where it's like there's a goofiness to it. But there are ones that say it's okay to be smart.
Right.
It's okay to be really smart while you're doing this. Because fuck, Lehrer has a degree, has like a master's in mathematics from Harvard.
Yeah.
And teaches at MIT. And then goes out and just writes, you know, fucking silly, fun, you know, writes Poisoning Pigeons in the Park.
Yes.
You know? Oh, man. Well, the Catholics hate the Protestant, right? All of my folks hate all of your folks. Right. I just so goddamn good. But MST3K is one that really... I remember watching a behind-the-scenes thing about it, and they were like, you become hooked on the show the minute you think of a joke as they say it.
Is that the one that was on Comedy Central with Penn Jillette?
It might have been. It was a very long time
ago. Long time ago, during the when they had those Turkey Day marathons.
This was before Turkey Day. This was like, I saw it within like a week of seeing Cave Dwellers for the first time.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So it was really
But they would
on.
Play it. Around Thanksgiving time as well.
Uh-huh.
And had interviews with, what's his name? That's so sad. Hmm. Barney.
Oh,
Doogie Howser.
Oh, wait. Oh, Neil Patrick Harris.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, NPH. Interviews with him.
Bitch, how you not the Hobbit again?
Penn Jillette was the host of this.
Right.
And it was about the behind the scenes and just in general about the show.
Yeah.
And yes, that is correct. I believe that was Penn Jillette. Or no, it was him.
Patrick MPH?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who said, when you're thinking of the joke before they say it.
Yeah.
And then they say it.
And I still remember it. It was my first episode. It happened to be the first episode I saw, which was Cave Dwellers.
Yeah.
And the line that I had was, there was a guy who was fighting with two swords. And I thought, the first blade lifts the head away from the body a split second before a second blade. And as I thought it,
they say
the first blade lifts the head away from the body. He's like, the minute I knew that I had it is it's that movie starts out a little slow, but the first really good line that I was like, okay, I'm gonna like this was
how much Keefe is in this movie anyway?
Miles O'Keefe.
Yes.
And you know what? I now have crazy respect for two actors that I never even thought of. Casper Van Dien, because he pushed the hell out of their Starship Troopers riff tracks,
mm-hmm.
and responded when I was like, dude, mad respect. He's like, hey, gotta help out every. He's also married to fucking Katherine Oxenberg, who's a model that went to Harvard. So the guy's got shit on the ball.
Huzzah!
Huzzah, yes. And Miles O'Keefe contacted MST3K and asked for a copy of his episode because he was like, this is fucking amazing. That he described the experience of making the movie as a surreal experience. Yes,
filmed in Italy.
Yeah, just in that movie, just off the bat, I it's a sequel to, I don't know what, because it begins with them running through what happened in the original one, and all I saw the original at a movie theater in San Antonio, like early 80s.
Wow.
And the only reason I remember it is because of the big fake spider and the mirrored shield that ends up broken. I remember that from when I was a kid. And so I was like, holy shit, this is apparently a sequel. It is. This was back when like Sunday nights for me were MST3K.
Oh yeah.
Because I'd lay in my parents' bed watching it on their cable, just sitting there watching fucking Mystery Science Theater 3000. Because what the fuck? It's Sunday night. There's nothing. There's hee-haw for 24 goddamn years.
And then that. Miles O'Keefe, that is a great story. But my favorite story is the Kurt Vonnegut story.
Oh.
You know about this?
No.
Heard about this?
I have not. Read about this? No.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Murphy discussed how he met Kurt Vonnegut, one of his literary heroes. This is from Wikipedia. When he mentioned the show and its premise to Vonnegut, the author suggested that even people who work hard on bad films deserve some respect. Murphy then invited Vonnegut to dine with his group, and with which Vonnegut declined, claiming he had other plans. When Murphy and his friends ate later that night, he saw Vonnegut dining alone in the same restaurant. And remarked that he'd been faced, but nicely faced by one of his heroes.
And another thing, Vonnegut, I'm going to stop payment on a check. What's that? Fuck me. Hey, Kurt, you read lips. Fuck you.
But that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Like, you get fucked about by someone you care that much for. It's okay,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, this is what's funny is looking at the list, there were... For the first Turkey Day, Adam West hosted it, who they had lampooned with Zombie Nightmare. Mamie Van Doren popped up, who was in Untamed Youth and Girls Town. Robert Vaughn from Teenage Caveman and Beverly Garman, who was like in everything Roger Corman did.
Right.
We're like, fuck it. We understand what this is. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's go.
God.
And evidently, when the movie Time Chasers was done on the show, the director's like, let's have a party. Everyone come over. And he's like, I've never laughed harder at anything in my life.
Yeah, everybody got really drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, being made fun of on that is like being bagged on South Park. Like, remember Bobo? He's like, oh, man, no, they made me look like an idiot. He's like, they make everyone look like an idiot, dude. What the fuck? Come on.
It's okay, man.
Yeah.
Because you were lampooned, Meat Drapes, by...
Are you lampooning me, Meat Drapes?
By smart people
your
that are funny.
Your fucking name is Bobo,
yeah,
and you are a professional Bigfoot hunter, so...
Fine! Just shut the fuck up for one damn fucking second in your fucking life.
Yeah, it's like getting pissed off if Don Rickles insults you.
Yeah, yeah.
What consider kind of a, yourself blessed.
Yes, yeah. you've done something amazing.
Yeah.
The one thing that really blows my mind with this is, okay, the whole thing, for those who don't know, quick history lesson, the whole thing started out, it was sort of influenced by these two shows that didn't last very long, three shows, Mad Movies with the LA Connection and the Cannes Film Festival, only two shows. And it started out with Joel, it was on KTMA?
KTMA in Minneapolis.
Yeah, in Minneapolis. And it was just something that they put on public access just to fuck around with. And they actually had a concept. And I realized this is what separates Mike and Joel. Joel is all about the concept of it. Because his was Dr. Clayton Forrester and Dr. Lawrence Earhart launched Joel into space. and forced them to watch these movies to see if they could weaponize a bad movie. What movie causes the breaking point so that we could use that for world domination?
Right.
With his later work, Cinematic Titanic, there's like some, we're in the future and we're recording
They're just
the
doing
info
things
tubes
for, yeah, in a vault. And it's very, yeah, there's still a concept. It's very, very loose.
Oh, yeah, it's a very
loose.
But it's
still there.
Yeah, much like there was in MST3K. It's a very loose concept. But Mike was always, Mike and the other guys are just sort of like, fuck it, let's just record some shit.
Well, yeah.
Let's just go do this.
At that point, because you've already got the scaffolding.
Yeah, yes. And Riff Trax, to me, I like Cinematic Titanic, but I somewhat prefer Riff Trax just because it's for movies that I want to watch.
Right.
Whereas with Cinematic Titanic, it's old, like Joel likes to watch old B movies and fuck with them.
Yes,
that's
he does.
What he does. This, it's shit where it's like, you know, the Transformers movies. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, all of the Star Wars movies, the Star Wars Holiday Special, right. Fucking all of it. And it's absolutely amazing to sit there and realize, wow, you can do this with movies that aren't necessarily bad. I mean, the guys fucking tear apart Empire.
Right.
They tear apart Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
It's amazing to see a movie that you enjoy and fuck around with.
I have never, ever listened to any Riff Trax.
Oh, well.
Ever.
Soon enough.
I did listen to the film crew, the early...
The film crew stuff was fun. That's
there were only three that I knew of.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were pretty goddamn funny.
Oh, yeah, that's where that he's clinically depressed potential rapist.
Yes.
Which is odd because that is Corbett singing. Mm-hmm. And normally, I will say that the funniest moments on that show are when Murphy as Crow, as Servo will sing.
Mitchell. Mitchell, heart's pounding. Mitchell, veins clogging. Mitchell.
Yes,
he did one.
I agree.
He did one on Fast and Furious. Was either Fast? And, yeah, it was Fast and Furious. That was unfucking real. It just keeps going. It's trying to shoot the club owner. Going, he's just keeps rapping it. All I remember is. Taking a sip off a warm Corona, dancing around, trying to hide your bona. I was like, yes, you fucking win, dude. We get you a drive. You're going to be set up, dude. That's all I'm saying. I'll show you how to play it off that. And fucking your marriage is over.
Pretty much.
Your marriage is done. Now, here's the thing. I had forgotten about my love of MST3K because it was hard to find for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then the day... Like the week I got my wisdom teeth out. Remember that brutal fucking wisdom tooth surgery I had? That week, like everything Netflix had from MST3K went on their streaming. So I had nothing to do but lay on the couch and take Vicodin.
That's a good time.
And all I did was pop Vicodin. And my doctor was like, I want you comfortable. All that. I went through like a 5-day prescription of Vicodin in 2 days.
Huzzah!
Yeah.
That is good.
And I was just sitting on the couch like, this is incredible. And Hope's like, here's some tomato basil soup. And I was like, I want crackers! No, I didn't know. She brought me, the funniest thing. We were talking about it the other day. And Hope and I were having the discussion about if, and this is as nerdy as shit gets, what South Park character are you? And what house of Hogwarts would you be in? And she was like, I would be Hufflepuff. And I was like, yeah, and yeah,
I think so.
Hope, you're Butters. And she was like, yep, no question. Yes, you're right. I am Butters and I would be Hufflepuff. You are correct.
This is very easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Big gay Al Gryffindor.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. No question. No question at all.
Just kidding about the Gryffindor.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be Cartman and Slytherin.
Yes. I think that would be exactly the same.
Here. Yeah. Yes. But, and like, seriously, it was just Hope was bringing me, I was making like milkshakes with my immersion blender, just like all I could eat. I was just dumping an entire thing of Ben and Jerry's and covering it in Ensure. Ensure, nice. Not milk, but fucking Ensure, like
nicely
a goddamn
done.
Incontinent 90-year-old.
That is fantastic.
Who's just like, well,
I didn't
the
have,
fuck is juice?
I didn't have Netflix at the time when I had my wisdom teeth and the whole fucking 5-tooth fiasco.
Yeah.
So I just had a futon at the time. Took about the similar amount of narcotics.
Yeah.
And I believe I watched, I stumbled across Top Gear for the first time.
Oh, nice.
And they were having a 2-day marathon. So I watched all of that.
Yeah.
And then I watched 3 seasons of The Wire.
I need to watch
High as Fuck.
I need to watch Top Gear. The only more uncomfortable situation I ever had with that was, and that was all of my drug stories are like prescriptions that I was given for specific things. Mm-hmm. I had a summer where my knee and my back both went just fucked up on me. Mm-hmm. It was right when Hope and I first started going out, and we went up to Fort Worth for something. Don't remember what it was, but there was a bunch of her family there. I went to a doctor beforehand, and the doctor is like, well, for the pain for your back and neck, for the pain in your knee, I'll give you some Vicodin. And for the pain in your back and neck, I'm going to give you Valium. I was drinking beer with Vicodin and Valium.
Ooh.
And her cousin is a vet, and they had this old dog, this crazy fucking old dog. I'm talking like 27 years old.
Holy Moses. Yeah,
like this guy was a vet, kept this dog alive. Recently, they put the dog down and literally had the needle in his hand about to eject it, and the dog died.
Hey.
So the dog knew what was happening. But this dog was like blind in both eyes, couldn't walk right. Lower jaw was missing.
Oh,
so like
God.
The mama had to chew food and feed it to him. And Hope's Aunt Lisa was like the funniest thing she's ever seen in her life. Is I was sitting at the table looking at this dog like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? Because I was just out of my mind. And the whole time, it's like everyone's eating, and I'm sitting there just my hands flat on the table looking at this dog like, why? Why are you a thing that's real? Why aren't you in hell where you belong?
Why do you look like that fox from Emmett Otter's Junk Band Christmas? Junk Band, not Junk Band.
Oh, man.
Oh,
dude,
my.
Emmett Otter's joke. Dude, when I was a kid, nothing crushed me as much as when he put the fucking hole in the bottom of that wash tub. It's just
that I watched recently.
Uh-huh.
First time since I was probably 6.
Uh-huh.
That is one, obviously, emotionally manipulative little goddamn film.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Does it still work?
Not really.
Okay, that's...
But
okay.
It's still so fucking sad.
Yeah.
This is not a snuff film, I guarantee it.
It really isn't, but that's a concept.
Emmett Otter's snuff film.
Snuff
Christmas.
Band Christmas?
Why not? Yeah, you know?
Snuff film Christmas. That's it. Hashtag yeah. Emmett Otter's snuff film Christmas.
Well, and if it was a snuff band, it could just be like them dressed as fops going like...
Oh my.
Oh my. Have you had this delicious... Have you had this delicious tobacco?
I got it from Smoog.
Smoog's tobacconist.
Smoog's tobacconist. I will not buy this hovercraft. It is full of eels.
Oh, man, that is fucking brilliant.
Anyway, yeah, that's a sad fucking film. Wash tub.
Yeah.
The mom otter goes and pawns the old dead old man's tools.
Yeah.
To buy a dress. To buy material.
Everything
it's
about
just
it.
So
it's just
fucking
like,
sad.
What other fucking poor bastard tropes can we shove in this
so
fucking film?
Fucking awful.
Yeah.
They're so poor.
Yeah.
And they're animals.
Yeah.
Poor little animals.
And fucking adorable. Emmett couldn't have been more fucking adorable if
sort
they
of.
Tried.
Sort
really?
Of. If it gets a little close, it's kind of like a archaic dog missing its lower jaw.
Oh, wow.
Things don't really sync up well. So. Barbecue, bless my spirit.
I just remember the snake scaring the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah,
that band snake. Was fucking horrifying.
Riverbottom Nightmare Band.
Yeah, the Riverbottom Nightmare Band. Let's be a little more, I don't know, direct about that. Because why the fuck not?
Your house isn't haunted. You're lonely.
That is apropos of fucking nothing.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
That don't you put that evil on me is my favorite thing ever.
That is good.
Here's what blows my mind. When they started doing MST3K, they had 13 episode seasons.
Mm-hmm.
When Comedy Central picked them up, it kicked it up to 24.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yes.
So whenever I'm like, how are these guys so good at doing it? Well, we had to do 24 a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Holy shit. And they got down to where like, yeah, we can do two watchings of a movie and have a script down. Like,
Yeah.
Jeez. There is no improving on it.
No, they were just dead on you. Run over each other. Uh-huh. Like us with our fucking drops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we don't rehearse either.
No, no, no. See, because we talked, I remember when we wanted to do the Zardoz commentary and try and do it riff style.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah, because how do you not get sucked into actually watching the movie, and how do you find the right ones? I think also having a team of like 6 or 7 people doing it, and that's what they're aiming for. I still remember when I got dragged to Erica's one Christmas in Houston, and I don't know why I just Bill Bird that.
I don't either.
And Erica! But her sister had some pain in the balls friends over, and they were watching the first Lord of the Rings movie.
Mm-hmm.
They had it muted because there was other shit going on, and the subtitles on. And his friend was like reading, and this guy was reading the subtitles in like a dumb voice and was like, oh, this is like MST3K. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh no.
But at one point I looked over and I said, you know, there's a new feature on DVDs where actors will read the dialogue for you.
It's great. It's under play.
And it was just sort of flat. It was very Tom Lehrer. Like, oh yeah, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but,
bitch, you're not a hobbit, right?
You'll love it.
You'll love it. It's really great. Have you ever heard of Blue? Oh, you'd like Blueshammer. They're really great. But yes, it's one of those shows that I can get, I don't know, maybe you don't dig it, but it's so indicative of your overall sense of humor to me. It's not like I won't like you if you don't like MST3K, but it's a sort of thing I look at and it's like, oh, so you just have a different sense of humor than I do. And I'm not going to insult today. Oh, you're not funny. You don't
No.
You just have a different, you approach shit differently than I do.
And it's a pretty clear line in the sand with this show.
Yes.
There's anybody that's like, yeah, let's watch it. Or, you know, every once in a while. No.
Yeah.
It's like Motorhead. Mm-hmm. Either I don't want it. It's not my cup of tea, or I'll kill for them.
It's actually a little more like Slayer.
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I don't know because, I mean, let's be honest. Slayer's got a lot of rational.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
A little bit.
Because I am, like, Hope likes it, but she's also a normal person. I am like, well, let's watch nothing but MSD every night when we're going to bed. Let's not do that. Let's not do that, please.
No, let's.
Well, you know, I really want to all the time. That or Riff Track. Like, seriously, if I could have all my shit plugged into my thing all the time, I'd be like, we're just going to watch another Riff Track.
Do regular people that didn't have to escape crushing reality just found other things to do?
Yeah, that's part of what I think it is.
I think it is. Because I didn't just consume it like, and that's very good. Thank you very much, Smaug.
Yes.
No, I had to have all of it.
Yeah.
I stumbled across it in Eagle Pass.
Yes.
And
you found it at the fucking bottom, dude. Oh. You were at the fucking bottom.
Well, that is fucking it. Yeah. This is over. Calling it quits.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Cave Dwellers.
Yeah. Yeah, it would make sense.
Because around that time is where I came into it. All the earlier stuff I had to watch later on.
Same here.
But it was the 91 to 92 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pod People, I believe, was the second one. Hey, maybe the second or first. I can't remember.
Right.
But I think Cave Dwellers was it.
Like, I remember, because for me, I was, you know, I was dealing with, you know, moving from a different country to middle school, where I just, nothing made sense, and I didn't make a lot of friends, and I didn't have a good time of it until I hit college. I was that person who was like, I have to fucking endure being here so I can go do something I want to do. And so I just didn't, I mean, it's not some sob story, I just did not have a lot of friends in San Antonio ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just sort of, but that was something that I looked forward to. And I did have people that I talked to about that. You know, we would always go on, like, when it switched from Joel to Mike, who was better, Joel or Mike? And it's one of those things where it's like, whoever I've watched most recently is best.
Right.
So if I just finished a Mike episode, it's like, fuck, Mike's the goddamn king. He's the best. Mm-hmm. Then you watch a Joel episode and it's like, nah, now Joel's where it's, no, now it's my, oh, fuck it. They're both awesome. Why choose?
I can have both.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I could live with both of them. I mean, Joel deserves respect because he's the father.
Yeah.
He is father, mother, alpha, and omega. That is his fucking show. So how do you not respect that? But I really think that the show hit its sweet spot when, and this shows how fucking nerdy I can be, when Trace stopped doing Crow and Corbett came in, because that trio, mm-hmm. Murphy, Corbett, and Nelson are just where it's fucking at. They've right. got an interplay together. Like, it's weird with riff tracks. There's some where it's Mike riffing solo.
Oh, wow.
And they're all right. They're good. But when it's all three of them, there are times where they, like, somebody will say something and you'll hear Murphy, like, just go, like, and yeah. they will surprise one another with something amazing.
For me, it's, I guess it's like any other thing, like music or whatever. Whatever thing you fell in love with at that time,
yeah.
that's crystallized in your head.
Yes,
and I've got nothing against any of it. As yeah. far as I'm concerned, everyone's looking each other in the eyes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when I think of Crow, I think of Trace's voice.
Same here, yeah.
When I think of Servo, of course,
yeah.
is Kevin.
Even though it originally was Elvis. Yeah.
And Mike. I mean, mm-hmm. Joel, see?
Yeah.
There honestly, is, yeah. it's not one or the other, but
yeah, yeah.
those three voices are the ones that are the episodes I watched over and over again
mm-hmm.
that I recorded on VHS
yeah.
like a fucking caveman
yep.
and went about
yeah.
The Rio Grande Valley
mm-hmm.
to my friends going, you have to see this. You have
yeah.
to see this. You have to see this. I would annoy people.
Yeah.
Like, you have to see this
mm-hmm.
because it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And you will think it's funny too, right?
Yeah.
Right. Right, because it's not the point now where you don't like it or not.
Yeah, like, I don't give a fuck. I'll find somebody.
No, everyone has to like what I like because it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it fucking was.
Well, and if you think about how revolutionary this idea is, it's a 2-hour long show where you are showing a bad movie. And I mean, let's remove it because that's what it is.
Yeah.
The only time, and I think the first time I saw the end of Manos, the Hands of Fate was with you.
Yes, it's Manos, the Hands of Fate.
That thing, I literally was in the theater with you. I tried watching it. For those who are as yet uninitiated with this show, the idea of it, you know, as we said, they're torturing this guy.
Yeah.
This was the only time that the Mads, as they're known,
yeah.
Dr. Clayton Forrester and TV's Frank, his sidekick, both apologized for the movie. They came and was like, guys, I know I'm so sorry. This really is a cross. This really is. I'm so sorry.
We're so sorry about this.
Yeah. Oh man, that we need to record a version of that with guitars and shit to be the intro for Distraction Therapy.
Sounds good to me. I like.
Yeah.
That. Just over and over again. And my wife is not batshit over it.
Yeah.
But we did take her to see the riff track stuff.
Yeah.
And she laughed her ass off.
Because she was like, I remember when she said, I don't like that. And I was like, and it was one of those things where I know Nicole enough that basically my idea, my response was, you do. You just don't realize it yet. You haven't seen the right.
I haven't been immersed into this.
I was that guy. He's like, oh, you just haven't heard the right Zappa album yet. I'll get you Hot Rats. You'll love Frank Zappa. I was that fucking guy.
There are episodes of this show
yeah.
that you got to be a deep fan.
Yeah, they are a bit taxing at
yeah,
times.
Yeah, some of them aren't. They're not all just A1
yeah.
for everybody. They are yes. for me.
Uh-huh.
But there oh, yeah. I mean, obviously there are episodes I like more than others.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean all the earlier stuff from the Access days.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to.
They it really get is hard just because they were finding what the show was.
Right. And they hadn't hit it yet.
It was like the Louis CK show. It took him a while to figure out what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But he has landed it recently and it is fucking great.
Oh, that's good.
So it's just a matter, like, honestly, watch the 3-part episode of Louis called Late Night.
Mm-hmm.
It'll fucking blow your mind. You will be a fan of that show. It is so goddamn good. It really is. I genuinely say it is possibly the best 30-minute sitcom episode ever.
Nice.
Like, I'm blown away by it. I think it's fucking genius. But, yeah, when you really get into a show like this, it's odd because you become part of it.
Yeah.
It becomes like this second language. And
oh, yeah.
I am nothing compared to you because I was like, yeah, I watched this fucking Canadian movie called The Final Sacrifice. I can't remember the guy's name for it. It's really funny. And you just said,
We will Rousedauer.
And you went, Zap Rousedauer. And I was like, yep. Yes. There it is.
Yes.
Which is the worst. First off, amazing name. Amazing Zap fucking name.
Rousedauer.
But the guy looked like a Christmas ham that was short of breath.
Is he an unpainted clown?
He just always looked like his heart was about to explode. He was just this kind of beefy, fucking fat-faced Canadian guy with a mullet.
Oh, my God.
Every time he ran somewhere, it just looked like he was like...
I'm making fun of fat people. It's just
what
fun.
The fuck is juice?
It's goddamn amazing. And the guy, what I loved is the voice that they came up with for the kid in it, because he just was like this damn near Eddie Dezine from fucking Dinzine or however you say it.
Yes.
From that really nerdy guy from Greece. And it just, and whenever you would look at him, the guy's like,
Rousedauer.
Diddly daddly Rousedauer.
Whatever the fuck it was. I looked for that fucking drop forever. I couldn't find it. I had to settle for
We will Rousedauer.
Hey, fatty. Speaking of fat dogs.
Yep.
But yet, all of them right now are out there doing different things. I mean, Mike, Kevin, and Bill were the film crew, and they are Riff Tracks. And Joel, Mary Joe, Frank, Trace, and Elvis are Cinematic Titanic. So they're all still doing this. What I love is they're like, well, no, people are always, why don't you guys get together and do one? And it's like, we're doing different things.
Yeah.
And Mary Joe's statement, when people are like, well, who's better? And she's like, why don't you just have a debate over, you know, whether to unroll the toilet paper over or under, or keep the opening of your pillowcase to the outside or the inside of the bed. It's like they're different things, and you can love them both equally. There's no need to have some bullshit fan beef over it.
Yeah, there's no reason at all. It just means if you're lucky enough to be in a town where they come to, you can see Cinematic Titanic live, and you can go see a movie with Riff Tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
No, more content.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
Yeah.
Well, and Riff Tracks I love because it's cheap. It's like, you know, I think the most expensive is like $6.
Oh, wow.
And you get the fucking commentary that you own forever, and you can awesome. You know, check that shit out whenever you want. It's great. It's fun. It's a different angle on things. And just the slight, one of my two favorites from Riff Tracks, they're one that Hope and I quote all the time, and one that VJ and I quote all the time. There was one from Transformers where one of the big robot fights was happening on the highway, and one of the robots falls off the upper deck and is kind of reaching up. He blows your... Not a penny to my gay son.
Yes.
And the other one is from Star Wars, when Luke is out, you know, looking at the twin sun setting, and they're like, Luke, come on inside, we're gonna blow. And he says, all right, Uncle Owen, I'll be there in a minute. Murphy goes, didn't ask for your life story, kid. And it's so out of fucking nowhere. It was one of those things that I had to pause because I was laughing so goddamn hard at.
There are two times where I've laughed as hard as I have at this particular show, at all. One is when I discovered the show, and my parents found me on the floor, not being able to breathe.
Yeah.
They almost called an ambulance. And then the second time you laugh that hard is when you show it to somebody else and they laugh as hard too.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, God damn it, I fucking landed it.
Yep.
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
When someone laughs at the exact same time and just as much with that look in their eyes like, where is this bit?
How has this not been part of
or they find their own little weird things? Because I love little short jokes.
Yeah.
Little weird things.
Uh-huh.
God damn it. That is a smorgasbord.
Oh, yeah. And they go so dark sometimes. I still remember on... I think it's Radio Secret Service. There is a video beforehand, or as they call it, Radio Obvious Service. There was a short about, like, pay attention to when the train tracks and shit like that, to when the train, pay attention when you're driving around train tracks. And it was like this video of like, you know, oh, I'm driving along and my brother's driving in front of me with his girlfriend and they're waving at us and they get hit by a train because they're being dumb shit. But they're, you know, there, and it's this horrible thing, and a deputy walks up, and one of them says, "Need you to identify this bucket of your brother." And I was like, that is the fucking darkest joke they could have made at that moment. But they just threw it out there.
One of the first things that Harry drilled into me was Harry.
Was that the one about the selling Chevrolets or
something? Oh my God. I've always laughed at movies, and movies are always hilarious. But for me, it's always been the shorts.
Oh, yeah, the shorts.
That kill me. Not, oh, that's hilarious. Something broke inside. Oh,
dude, you know that...
That particular scene where the old man is talking to the son, and he's swatting away at, you know, I suppose a gnat in the show. And one of those jokes where you think of something while they say it, and he's swatting away at his head. He's having an episode. The flying elves are back. Okay, now I'm dead. Now I'm on the floor. Then he puts a fucking handkerchief on his head, and all they say is, whoa.
Yeah.
What?
You need to, you know that you can get through Amazon. Mm-hmm. Amazon? What?
What?
If you buy it through Amazon, go to the Film Thugs, click on that shit, buy it first. If you have a TV, like a device on
have a TV
that connects to Amazon.
I do, all of them.
You can purchase collections of Riff Track shorts for like $10.
Oh my.
And it is, you'll get like 6 or 7 short films. And there's one on like a stewardess training film for one of those things. And as it ends, this businessman's getting off of the plane. And it's, I think Corby goes, "Bob Executive, which way is business?" And it's just so fucking perfect.
This is fucking awesome.
It's so good. And now you can do that. Literally, they've got big collections of them. Buy one, then a month from now, buy another. They're cheap enough, and you can just watch them while you're going to sleep. They're so fucking good.
Oh,
they're so goddamn good.
But every one of those shorts is just, well, almost all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Be Natural.
Oh, God, yes.
Fucking the kid Johnny goes to
goes there. Get out of my fucking head. Johnny must have everything for himself.
He transmogrifies. He's a shapeshifter, and he breaks the fourth seal.
The Olsen and Johnson, hell's a poppin', boys.
Olsen and Johnson keeps baby soft. And I've watched that one particularly because for a while there, Rebel Set was my favorite.
Oh, God, yeah. Rebel Set.
No, Rebel Set's hilarious, but it's nowhere near like Girl in Lover's Lane.
Oh, Girl in Lover's Lane is so fucking... Your name's Big Stupak.
Big Stupid?
Your name's Big Stupid? Really?
I wrote a poem about you while you were sleeping. There were things that I just watched over and over again that just became part of my brain.
Well, and what's great is there are these curiosity films that would have been forgotten to time forever.
Oh, yeah.
If it wasn't for this. I mean, honestly, some of the fucking, the best are anything they do with Joe Don Baker.
Oh, absolutely.
My apartment.
My Mitchell. He's so fucking great. And then Final Mitchell. Justice, where he plays a Texas Ranger who has to go to Malta.
Yeah, because you do.
And one of the best lines ever, the one that I still lose, that I'll say to Hope every once in a while, is Joe Don Baker's in a room and someone walks in, he looks at me and goes, "You're not ribs." And every once in a while, I'll say that. If I'm really hungry, she'll walk in and be like, "You're not ribs."
Fucking dinner in Mitchell when he's sitting there with Merlin fucking Olsen.
Because yes.
Yes.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
And the guy's trying to talk to Joe Don Baker. He's like, "Yeah, whatever. You pass the peas and the corn and the stuffing and the turkey and the gravy." Just keeps going on and on. I'm sorry if you haven't watched any of these and we just sound like rambly assholes trying to make each other laugh. But that's kind of the heart of the show.
Yeah, that's what this show's been since fucking day one.
So I would recommend you go out there and find yourself some of these episodes so you can laugh along with us.
God damn.
How much Keefe is in this movie anyway?
Miles O'Keefe.
Oh my God.
God damn. But the Joe Don Baker ones, because it's become sort of an inside thing with that among the show, because that was Joel's last episode.
Yeah.
And what I love is Andrew Farmer from the United States of Geekdom. We were talking about Mitchell once, and he was like, "The funniest line from that." And I didn't know it was there until I rewatched it after he pointed it out, where they're meeting some mobsters or meeting in a park, and
I think it's server goes, people laughing, children smiling, a guy selling heroin. And it fucking broke me. Like, that is so fucking good.
There are parts of the show, little moments of this throughout the show that I don't look at as like, oh, that was a funny moment. That was one of the funniest things that ever happened to me.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And that is not, there is no hyperbole in, yeah, at all.
Yeah.
When, I mean, during the short speech,
mm-hmm,
with the little guy, Herd, or whatever his name is, and he says, do you know, and Crow comes in, I've got little bunnies painted on my knees. Almost died right there. In fact, it makes no sense if you haven't seen it.
No, it doesn't. No.
First you need a wire rack. Oh, my God. It's so fucking
another
good.
Cave Dwellers one. I don't remember what it was, but I don't remember what led to it, but Joel saying, and Moses tied his ass to the tree.
The keeper of the seven keys of Fentuzla, and you can keep the glass. Oh, shit.
I'm huge. Jesus.
Observational humor. Oh, God, I love Seinfeld.
The way that they go after shit is so great. And it's funny because I remember my parents didn't get it.
Oh, God, no.
They're like, wait, well, why is somebody, why are you watching a bad movie? Well, because these guys are, but they're talking through the movie.
Yes.
No, you don't get it. The movie is damned near irrelevant.
It doesn't matter.
It's what they're saying that makes the fucking show. That's.
Does it help when my old man comes in when I'm watching Hercules? I'm long. Like, is that Steve Reeves? Yes, it is. It is Steve. Why are you watching Hercules?
Oh, I still remember a moment that I think from Manos Live, the mm-hmm. Manos that I think Murphy made up on the spot because of the way they reacted. And it was when Torgo was looking in on the hot redhead changing right. And she's fap, fap, fap. And the guy's
like, what the fuck?
It just fucking broke the audience.
You mentioned the T word. Another one of those moments would be from Santa Claus. Not Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
No, 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 no.
Or versus the Martians, or whatever the fuck it is. All that trouble over a little fat man in a red suit. Truman Capote? No. Santa Claus, the Mexican movie.
Yes.
Which I posted.
Not a snuff film, I guarantee it.
Which I posted on our Facebook page today. Because Merry Christmas. Because,
yes.
What the fuck?
What the fuck is juice?
What the fuck is juice? I can't explain it to you if you haven't seen it. I'm not even going to try.
No.
Just
no.
Look it up, give it a shot, and this eventually will be hilarious.
Merry, merry greetings I take to one and all. So hurry if you want to enjoy the Yuletide fun. I'll see you in your nightmares.
For the longest...
I fucking died. I almost died.
You're almost dying.
Oh, holy shit.
I remember you would pull that out all the time. Like when we were watching Little Miss Sunshine and there were just creepy fucking pageant girls and you just go, I'll see you in your nightmares.
All of my jokes are stolen from MST3K.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yes.
There are things my wife thinks I made up. Honey, put your shoes on. We're at grandma's. Nope. That's from Girl from Lover's Lane.
Well, we come. Chocolate chip ice cream and Johnny Cash.
Well, the cops had asked me what I was doing I was under the bleachers, and the cops asked me what I was doing. Again, Girls in Lover's Lane.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. And there are some of those that, like, just the first, like.
Oh, my God.
You understand, like, only when you watch a movie that you saw independent of it, how great it is. Because I have seen Laser Blast. Like I saw it like three times before I saw the MST3K.
Right.
One of them was in the theater.
Wow.
They showed it at a weird Wednesday at the Alamo Draft House, and I went with Courtney, and we just laughed our asses off. It was great. But it was one that my dad came home. He stopped at the video store, and he was like, I saw this laser movie. I thought you might like it. And I was like 9.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is disturbing as shit. Because it's got these godless, like,
out, space dinosaurs, and this guy turns into some weird laser heroin addict. Like, that's the only way to describe him, because he looks like a fucking heroin addict. You're shooting people. You got Eddie Dezine in it. You got just a fucking madhouse.
I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care.
Yes.
Don't you put that evil on me, Rick.
I'm just seeing if I can fully fucking break you and get you into the goddamn Cage Bird Sings for Walmart and Six Flags.
One of the first things that Harry drilled into me was Harry.
Oh my god. See, but what gets me is we've gone this far and we haven't mentioned the Gamera movies.
Oh, we can.
Gamera is really me. Gamera is filled with me. We've been eating Gamera.
You couldn't find the Hirohito one?
I was in a rush.
And the thing is, there are like six Gamera movies, and they did all of them.
Yes, they did.
And it's weird because Gamera is one of those that started out like really serious. The first one was and then it just fucking wacky. And there was one where he was like doing fucking parallel bar spins.
Yes.
And I think all Rich all that Joel said is, oh, this is Rich.
Yes.
It's like the simplicity of that, like, what joke can we make right now? Don't.
Don't.
Just say, this is Rich.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. It's so, like, I realize there are people out there listening to this who've never seen this show.
And this show must be your...
You're like, this
You're
is
Vietnam,
serious.
But here we are.
I don't fucking get this. Clancy Brown, don't tip. The first thing he drilled into me.
I remember one of the first things that Harry drilled into me was Harry.
Oh. And I love how you can hear Joel going, oh, at the end.
That
of
was
it.
Joel's thing. He'd always say, oh, honey, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I seriously would love, like, if I win the lottery. Like, all this shit that I talk about, I will find a show-used crow and a show-used servo and be like, how much do you want for them?
Yes.
A million bucks. Boom.
You got it.
For both of them. But I would not really. Don't quote me on that. I'm not setting the price that high.
We got that number down.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Shit.
Nope.
But there's a lot that I've watched here and there. Like, there are a handful of movies they have done with Joe Estevez.
Oh, yes.
Werewolf and Soul Taker. I have Mexican American starring Joel Estevez. We need to watch it at some point. The tagline for it is, he is not Mexican. He is not American. He is Mexican American. And I wanted to call Gino and be like, what the fuck does that mean?
What the fuck is juice?
Is he the Obama of fashion?
Thinking about my family, I'm like, wow, this is like, you know... this is like being a police officer or something, or like war or something, like you.
Yes, I could slip on stage.
Oh, there he went.
Teenagers from Outer Space.
Oh, my.
It's Ray Liotta.
And then, way too late for my taste, they made a movie.
Yeah.
A real movie.
Yes.
Go out in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my friends from Eagle Pass and all that, and we were all living together at the time.
Yeah.
That came out and was like, oh, hot damn.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you were thinking they'd really, really pack in the jokes this time?
No.
Nope. Just like another episode.
Yeah.
But exactly. Hilarious.
Well, it was an episode with higher production values.
Yes.
That's all it was, is they added a little bit here and there. But and by the way, higher production values... is not saying much.
No.
That would be like saying, well, you know, this is, compared to last week, a show with higher production values.
Yeah. I think they had Tom's Room, so that was pretty big.
Yeah, yeah.
Had to build another set.
Yeah.
So that's production value.
What's weird is looking back at, like, how in-depth the fucking set was compared to when the show started,
when
it was that weird orange room. Actually, the original opening credits for the show from the KTMA days, where it like had the lyrics on the screen, and it was literally the spaceship was Joel with that crazy long mullet, that mulligatawny mullet. Just, what? And he's like cleaning up in the studio.
Yeah,
and like, no, the studio is just, it's a spaceship.
Yes, it is.
And the fucked up fact that the goddamn satellite of love is a dog toy.
Yes, it is.
It is a fucking bone hanging from the sky. Crow is a bowling pin and a lacrosse mask.
Yes.
The best moments with Crow are when they reverse that so that he looks all formal with his hair slicked yes. back, because it looks like a totally different character. And how weird is it that I honestly do think of Servo and Crow as people?
Oh, no, they're people in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's the sort of shit where they
mean that much.
Are. Yeah, they genuinely are. I mean, that's why when I remember when I texted, when I posted on Kevin Murphy's Facebook, I Twitter account, like, just read your book, fucking loved it. And he replied, and I was like, and then I posted something on Bill Corbett's where he said something about his dog. I don't remember what it was. And I replied, "You are history's greatest monster." And then there was another time where he posted about like getting attacked by fire ants somewhere. And I was like, "This is why you don't go camping. We conquered nature for a reason." And he retweeted it. And I was like,
"Oh my God,
mic drop. I'm out. Fuck it all. This is the greatest moment of my life."
Snapple's caps off any size jug, bottle, or jar, and it really, really works.
I remember the first thing Harry drilled into me was Harry. Oh.
I remember one of the first things that Harry drilled into me was Harry.
Oh. So Samuel's wiener goes...
Actually, he had his hands down here.
Oh, man.
It's so fucking great.
Ruth.
It's one of those things where it's odd because almost by the types of jokes, you can tell if it's Mike or Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Just because there is that slight different way of just getting to it.
And
you know?
What was Mike's first episode? The Brain That Wouldn't Die?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when you felt the earth move just a little.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
It's good, but
okay.
It's...
Okay. 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 Took a little while, but then bam.
Yeah.
Not very long. When I say while... Yeah. We're talking somewhere in the range of 8 to 12 minutes.
Yeah. This isn't like Coca-Cola to New Coke.
No.
This is like Coke in a can versus Coke in a bottle.
Yeah.
You know?
It didn't take... the transition period was not long.
Right. Right. You know?
Because Mike was head writer.
Yeah. He was... Yeah.
Ever and ever.
And he always popped up, you know, playing Morrissey. Did I mention I cried? And his wife popped up. She was Mr. Be Natural.
Oh, God.
Bridget Jones.
Oh, Mr. Be Natural.
Yeah. Bridget Jones Nelson. She was like, oh, God. The number of things on that show that are just... I never understood Star Trek fandom. And now that I'm like really back into MST and I'm noticing there's other Misties out there and like the way you connect with them, it's fucking great because it's like, wow, I am part of something. It's not as extreme as Star Trek. But
we're dancing on the edge.
Yeah, we are tap dancing. I talked to Hope about this, and I'm debating. I want to get your opinion on this. She has a friend who's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm debating, do I want the front row painted on my wall, or do I want a Mount Rushmore with Mike, Crow, Joel, and Servo?
That's hard to do.
It is. It is. It will. No,
No. We can solve this right here and right now.
All
right.
Let's hash this out.
Get the front row,
because
it's iconic.
Oh, God, yes.
And a Mount Rushmore of Kurt Russell's. And it's over.
What the fuck is juice?
Thank you for that.
Huzzah!
Your house isn't haunted. You're lonely.
Oh, and another one.
Don't trust big banks or small banks. Banks are Ponzi schemes run by morons.
Yeah, I love Maron Swanson ones, man.
You're close, Ron.
Yeah.
Bitch, how you not the Hobbit again?
You're close. But yeah, if there's one thing I'm completely and utterly batshit nerds about, it's the show.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because it is one of those things that you sort of forget about over time. Not like you forget that, but you just, I hadn't watched an episode of it in a decade.
Oh yeah, it's been quite a while since I've watched an episode. And when I was researching all the drops, I found myself. It took for fucking ever.
Yeah,
and I didn't fill up my board, but usually takes me an hour.
Yeah,
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It took about three because I just kept watching different shit on YouTube.
Yeah, you go down the rabbit hole.
Oh yeah, I'm like, oh wait, I have to do the show.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because there's a handful they've got on Amazon Prime that are free, and there's not many on Netflix anymore.
Oh,
but
that's too bad.
I will. When all we have to do is get you a hard drive, and I know a guy who's got all of the riff tracks and all of MST3K that could put it.
Guy.
And if you get a hard drive that is like a portable one, you can run it directly off of your thing there. Or you could just get a collection. Well, no, it's better to do this because you get like a terabyte drive and
my little passport hard drive, perhaps.
Yes, that is a thing that could be used, and we could load that mother. That you and him could load it up, and then you'd be awash, fucking just up to your nose.
I'm not scared of dying, and I don't really care.
God damn, when fucking Servo's eggs. Actually, it was funny. The best moment of my life is somebody posted on, I think it was Corbett's Twitter feed about, oh, I'm watching this MST. It's really great. And he replied, including Trace on it, like, I don't remember that. I think that might have been Trace. And Trace is like, I have no recollection of that episode. And I replied to it, Crow and Crow are having a discussion about which Crow it was. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
It really is.
Like and what's weird is listening to Chris Hardwick was talking about it because he's met all of them. And he said, imagine like these are guys who have been told you are the biggest influence on my sense of humor ever. They have heard that enough that it's like, oh, okay, thanks.
Great.
Not dicky, but it's just like I hear this all the fucking time. So, oh, that's fantastic. Thank you.
You know, I've met famous people.
Yeah.
People I admire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm relatively even keeled about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, you know, nonchalant and dicky about it either, but I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I honestly
don't know what I would do.
I nearly went Chris Farley show when I met Vince Gilligan. If I met these guys, I would full on be like, hey guys, hey guys.
One of them.
Hey, hi. Can I get you a sandwich? Can I get you any? Hi, please just don't leave. Please. Don't pull a Vonnegut on me, you son of a bitch.
Yes. You're staying right here in my little room.
Merry greetings, I take to one and all. So hurry if you want to enjoy the Yuletide fun. I'll see you in your nightmares.
That fucking movie is so weird.
It really is.
It is so strange.
And is that the weird one where Santa Claus is like on the moon and like spying on the
Merlin works for him and he has automaton reindeer that if the sun hits them, they turn to dust. That's in the movie.
Is that one of those really weird? Is that the one that's like weirdly racist? Because they're like looking at all the different
racist
parts of
all the different races of children live up there with this fucking creep on the moon. Oh my God. It's so weird. And he's being foiled at every turn by Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Black Peter or Krampus and all this Eastern European shit.
No.
Fucking Satan.
Yeah. Because it's Mexico.
What the fuck? He's moving shit. It's so fucking
strange. Only thing that would have made this thing more from Mexico is if he'd been fucking dealing with La Lechuza or...
Yes. Or like Grimm a couple of weeks ago when they did Kukui. I'm like, really? That's a bit pandering, isn't it?
Kukui.
That is pretty fucking sad. We're not... And Andy did Llorona, too.
La Llorona. Oh Jesus
my
Christ.
God. Yeah. Like, really? Kukui.
Jalisco, Jalisco. Tu tenes tu novia.
De Guadalajara.
I need a big soundboard.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Cantor, cantor, abril, toda pecho, echar, etsegrito. Que lindo es Jalisco.
Barbaric.
Goddamn. This dog is just sorely neglected, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's just put upon.
Yes, it's the worst.
Hijo.
Shit.
Damn.
I remember one of the first things that Harry drilled into me was Harry.
I've got a picture of ice cold Stoli lemonade. Oh.
Oh, man. Yeah, this, it's weird because...
Sorry, this episode has got to be weird. If you're not into this, yeah. You have no fucking idea what we're doing.
And what's weird is it's like a testament to how much this meant to us when we were younger, because this was like, fuck, I don't know how else to put it. This was just a big shitting deal to us huge, when we were kids. Like, there's no other way to put it. This show meant fucking everything.
Oh, saved my life. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it was just one. I mean, and the songs. Oh, God, the hike, 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 up your trousers, hike, 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 up your trousers. Fucking side hacking.
Side hacking. The fucking song from Pod People. It stinks.
It's that. No, that was hike up your trousers.
Oh, it's hike up, trousers.
Yeah, hike up your trousers.
Let's get that confused.
That the amount of just joy that this show has brought us over time. Like, see, what we're trying to say is if you haven't watched it, you need should. To.
Potato. That's a potato, too. It all looks so good, I don't know where to start.
Like, fucking, who was it? Chad, who won our fucking, the last time that we had a winner that we knew to our summer film thing, he won that, and I sent him, like, again, one of those bullshit, sci-fi movies that had just a bunch of crap in it, but there was a thumb drive that had
that some guy gave me
that had a bunch of I don't know what was on it. Evidently it was MSTs and he enjoyed it and good time was had by all.
Don't you put that evil on
damn it.
Huzzah!
Don't trust big banks or small banks. Banks will
Bitch, how you not the hobbit again?
Your house isn't haunted.
Oh, man. This is just one of those shows that, like...
We're literally talking to each other. Sorry, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's all it is. Like, hell, my laptop has the fucking front row on it.
Yeah.
Like, when I open it up, the fucking front row is right there.
Just, that's right.
My desktop is all of the characters. It's... And, I realized I crossed the line when I can sit there and go through every single cast member and who played them. You know, the brain guys, Corbett, Professor Bobo, Mary Jo Pell as Pearl Forrester. Again, Lance Earnhardt. The only character that I don't know anything about is Cambot.
Yes, Cambot.
I think he's hiding something.
Yes. I know when he had that radical transformation.
Yes. That really was massive transformation. Like, he's just a ball.
Hmm.
I prefer the camera. Hmm.
Camera?
Camera.
Not Gamera?
Gamera is really me. Gamera is filled with me. We've been eating Gamera.
And I hear something in there that just reminds me of the most underrated member of that cast. Gypsy. Fucking Gypsy is so great.
Did Gypsy ever make it to the theater? She did.
She did, and she didn't fucking do it. She kind of looked and then left.
Yes.
Because Gypsy was awesome, but just dumb.
Last night, I didn't get to sleep at all.
Thank you, Gypsy. I almost died on that one, too. That's some deep fucking tracks, y'all.
Yeah. There are jokes in there that honestly, I'm like, I don't, what? And then when you fucking understand what they're talking about, it's like Archer. There's shit that just doesn't make sense until you figure out what the joke is. Like, there was one where he walked in on his mom, like, having basically a sex call with somebody. And later he's like, oh, yeah, Johnny Bench called. And it was meant to be sort of like, oh, yeah, think about baseball so you can have it.
Right.
No, Johnny Bench had massive hands and could hold like 5 baseballs in one hand. So it's just like this really gross, like, oh.
Oh, dear.
I remember the first thing Harry drilled into me was Harry.
Oh.
I remember one of the first things that Harry drilled into me was Harry.
Oh. It's one of those things that is so fucking open for it. You see it like, but you're not gonna make that joke.
All right,
you're,
I got it.
You're not going to fucking do that? Are you serious? And the number of just easy fucking setups that they nail every time. There has never been a time. This is the best compliment I can pay that show. I cannot ever think of a time where I'm like, they should say this. And what I thought up is better.
No. There are times that I've made something, made a comment to myself that's funny.
Yeah.
But not
never like
in, interchangeable with
it. It needs to be this.
This would be better. I know people like that.
Yeah. And they're awful.
It's when you think, it'd be great to have a big MST3K party and have a lot of people that are into it watch. No. And there's always that one.
Yeah.
You know, regular players of Dungeons and Dragons out there. You play with the same group of guys for however many years.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to college and say, I'll try it with another group of guys. And it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. See, you have basically to know the folks. Like, I could see you, me, Hope, VJ,
sure.
Nicole, because the only reason...
You get the good one in the environment, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'd be the right environment for that. But yeah, that's not something that you invite a shitload of people over for. That's a...
No.
That's a show that you watch by yourself with the lights dimmed, mm-hmm. where applicable. I love that. That all the best moments of my week were when those light bulbs crosses, dim your lights where applicable.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm about to get my motherfucking MST on. Get date.
Are you lampooning me, jokes?
I am.
It is honestly just one of those things that I don't know how someone can't love it.
I don't either.
Mitchell.
Sandwich. You will not get that out of your head for a week. I haven't.
You're not ribs. Keep your eye on the sandwich.
I don't care for you either, Mitchell. Why is that? Maybe our brief but bitter affair. I remember that one with Johnny Mathis.
Oh, yeah. It's not for me to say.
Because he lifts his head up and like, it looks like Johnny Mathis.
And then of
course, my mind.
You get fucking Murphy Jim. It's not for me to say.
These guns loaded? Maybe. I don't remember. They're randomly loaded. With John Saxon.
God damn. My apartment.
My apartment.
Oh, God. That shit, when you get into it, and now, like, I honestly cannot see Joe Don Baker in anything without, like,
no. No. It does not matter.
You're not ribs.
You're always Mitchell to me, buddy.
Yep. Oh, there was a great one from Final Justice. I forget what it is, but you know how they have, like, you'll have somebody who's a Ferner.
Yes.
And they'll emphasize the wrong syllable on yes. something. And there's one where some guy, I forget what it was that he said, and Corbett jumped in, and then I'll blow your brains all over the boat.
Yes.
And just having the V get hit that hard.
Like someone we just recently talked about.
You gotta listen to the way people talk. You don't say affirmative or some shit like that. You say no problemo. And if someone comes off to you with an attitude, you say eat me. And if you want to shine them on, it's hasta la vista, baby.
Some shit like that?
Some
no.
Shit like that? Hasta la vista, baby. Ugh. He always looks like he needs to take a shower. He looks like somebody...
He looks like somebody who would shit in the shower.
He looks like somebody fucking beat Norman Reedus with an ugly stick. Actually, no. To quote fucking South Park, he looks like somebody hit Norman Reedus in the face with a hot shovel. That line almost killed me last night. No, seriously. She looks like someone hit her in the face with a hot shovel. Wait. What?
Well played. Well played.
Hit him in the face with a hot shovel. I don't know why the shovel has to be hot.
Ooh, everything in sight. They eat most of the animals, the plants, the flowers, the roots, birds, even smoke and alcohol.
And they eat at Hardee's.
And they eat at Hardee's. Wow. Jesus, man. Is there anything else that we can say?
I don't
know. Just kind of like,
I don't want to do this anymore. I want to watch more MST3K.
Yeah, but because I realize you and I could literally put 4 hours of us just throwing this out all night. Just.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky.
Bitch, you're not a hobbit, right?
God damn.
This is not a snuff film, I guarantee it.
No, it's just a goddamn train wreck.
I remember the first thing.
One more time.
I remember one of the first things that Harry drilled into me was Harry.
Oh, my God.
So,
I think we got it. We have to end it now. Otherwise, yeah, we're just going to spend the rest of the night going. So we're. Yeah. What do you say? We put a fucking pin in this. We put a bow on this. And here's our quick rant. See, we try and keep the plugs portion of the show as entertaining as possible. So yes, you have a reason to listen. Do you like fucking t-shirts? Because I sure fucking do. I have so goddamn many of those.
You really do.
It's ridiculous. I like genuinely every, like I went through a vast portion of my life not being able to buy clothes just because like I have to buy them from one fucking store and they used to just be like, you know, a bunch of like irregular FUBU shit that they couldn't give away somewhere else. So it's like, here's a sweatshirt that's got a bunch of fucking NBA logos sewn onto
it. Here's a dented can of Dinty Moore, dude.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, here's a pair of canary yellow pants, you fucking freak. Put those on and look like a European.
Here's so, three belts.
Yeah, just, exactly, yeah. Well, he's like, do you want a shirt? Sure. Do you want a shirt in a weird lavender color? Not exactly. Well, too fucking bad. Put this on, stupid.
You look good.
So I went for years not buying clothes. So I feel totally justified because I'm getting like my 20s back, you know, because I literally didn't buy any clothes during my fucking like age, like seriously 25 to like 31. I did not buy an article of clothing. So it's like, okay, cool. I'm justified in doing this. So yes, T-Fury, they're awesome shirts. They've got a variety because every day there's a new one, mm-hmm. and I spend fucking money on these. But you should too.
Yeah.
Additionally, anything in the world, that you want to buy, and soon to be delivered to you by drone.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Who doesn't want that?
You got to get your hands on.
Oh yeah. So you just fucking
drone delivered goods.
Go to the film.
It's terrific.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The feeling of coming.
Yeah.
So you go to thefilmthugs.com, you can buy your shit from Amazon, you can buy your shit from T-Fury, you can buy your shit from Onnit, get yourself
savage.
Also, donate money to the Muscular Dystrophy Association of America. They are doing fucking good work for kids. If you don't like kids, then don't. And you're a monster.
You are.
So check that out. What else? We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on...
We're everywhere, baby.
Everywhere. Call 512-666-RANT and tell a story about anything. Don't give a shit what it is. Just call us and tell a story at 512-666-RANT. Additionally, you can contact us at the_film_thugs on Skype. Fuck. Is there anything else?
Master Ninja theme song. Master Ninja theme song. Master Ninja theme song. The Master Ninja theme song. Cause those Van Patten brothers are so headstrong. Master Ninja theme song. Help me. Master Ninja theme song.
To them, it's some kind of ritual.